Okay, this chapter is known as Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Let's recite few verses. Arjuna Uvacha.
Sanyasam Karmanam Krishna.
Punaryogam cha samshasi. Yashreya ita yorekam. Tanme brohi sunischitam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sanyasah karma yogascha. Nishreyasa karabhav. Tayostu karma sanyasat.
Karma yogo vishishyate.
Gyeha sanitya sanyasi.
Yona dveshti na kankshati.
Just a second. Nirdvando hi mahabaho. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Sankhya yoga prithak balaha. Number 4 once again. Sankhya yoga prithak balaha.
Pravadanti na panditaha.
Ekamapi astitaha samyak. Ubhayor vindate phalam. Yat sankhya prapyate sthanam.
Yat sankhya prapyate tad yogera pigamyate.
Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha. Yah pashyati na pashyati.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Arjuna is saying, O Krishna, first of all, you ask me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? So Arjuna is confused and he has kind of misunderstood Krishna's instruction. Because in the fourth chapter, if you remember, Krishna recommended various processes of sacrifice, and anyone who wants to achieve something higher, he has to perform some sort of sacrifice. And he mentioned various sacrifices based on the Vedic scriptures. And if somebody engages in those sacrifices, their hearts get purified. And eventually all such sacrifices culminate in knowledge. Because one of the innate aspects of the soul is that soul is knowledgeable. And then, so all and these sacrifices are depending on the kind of work we are doing. So he says, engage in sacrifices, so ultimately you will come to the platform of knowledge. And the platform of knowledge means cessation of all material activities. But Arjuna is thinking platform of knowledge means cessation of all activities. In the third chapter, Krishna has explained that in order to maintain one's body, one has to act. So you cannot avoid action at any point. One is forced to act according to his nature. So rather, one should use one's nature to serve Krishna, to serve God. So here he's saying, why are you confusing me? On one side you say renounce work, because ultimately knowledge is the culmination. And then after you're saying that now with that knowledge you work again. So he's kind of misunderstood. So you recommend work in devotion, and on one side you're saying renounce work. So he's thinking, he's telling him to renounce all kinds of work. So which of the two paths is more beneficial? And Krishna replies, sannyasah karma yogascha, dono ek hi hai, karma yoga aur sannyas. To sannyas mein kya hota hai? The renunciation of work, that is sannyas, and work in devotion, which is karma yoga, are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. So anybody who takes to sannyas order of life, he gives up all kind of work, material work. That is one way to detach yourself from, or save yourself from implication in the laws of karma. But then again the point comes that everybody has a particular type of nature, and one will be forced to act according to that nature, even if one has externally worn the dress of a sannyasi. Therefore Krishna says, better than sannyas is work in devotion, wherever you are. From there you try to connect with me, using your mind, your intelligence, your wealth, your power of speech, your energy, your time. You don't have to give up anything. That is better, he says. And remember, Krishna is speaking this Bhagavad Gita for Kali Yuga people, where he understands that most of the people will be living in family life. It will not be possible to renounce. Yes, what is the question?
Oh, that was my question, Guruji. I was asking that you answered it. It's okay. I was asking why he was against sannyas. You answered it.
Because the environment is not conducive to maintain sannyas. There are so many distractions, you know. So there are five things which are forbidden in Kali Yuga. One is Ashwamedha Yajna, sacrifice, horse sacrifice. Ashwamedha Yajna karte the na log. Why is it prohibited in Kali Yuga? Because people don't understand the spirit behind those sacrifices. Any horse which was sacrificed, it was first worshipped, and in that sacrifice it was done with the proper chanting of the mantras, and immediately the horse would get a celestial body as soon as the horse was sacrificed, because of the power of the mantras, and the horse would get elevated. But today, because people do not have that power, so they can kill, but they don't have the power to give life. So they, since you do not have the power to give life, you don't have any right to take somebody's life. That's why this is forbidden, sir. And another thing that is forbidden in Kali Yuga is sannyas, because the environment is not conducive. It's not very easy to maintain sannyas. Rather, it's easier to stay wherever you are, and from there you try to connect through chanting, through hearing. Easiest path. See, the teacher, say for example in a classroom, you also must have gone to the classroom. So depending on the caliber of the students, the teacher would ask questions. So he might ask the most difficult questions to the most brilliant student, isn't it? But somebody who is not so intelligent, so he would ask him an easier question, give him an easier question to solve. Same thing, in Kali Yuga, everybody is a bad student. All of us. So he is given the easiest path. Kuch nahi karna hai, jahan hai, wahin se try to chant my name, remember me, hear my katha. So the easiest thing is given, yet the most powerful. There is no spiritual practice that can compare to the chanting of the names of Krishna. It is the king of all spiritual practices. Even if you do not do anything else, simply if you are chanting the names Hare Krishna, like that, you will achieve perfection of life, without doubt. If you are doing everything else perfectly but not chanting, every doubt you will never achieve. I mean, it's a rule. Without the chanting, none of our spiritual practices are complete. So Krishna is saying, better than renouncing work, because you will be forced to act according to your nature anyways. So rather than that, try to use your nature, the kind of work you are involved in, to serve Krishna, to connect with God. Add Him to your life. Gyeyaha san. And next verse, one who neither hates nor desires. And how to work in devotion, Krishna is recommending here. The spirit has to change, not the work. He who neither hates nor desires the fruits of activities is known to be always renounced. So anybody who is working in devotion and working in this consciousness that is not attached to the, is not affected by the results of his activity, he's already considered a sannyasi. So sannyas doesn't just mean renouncing the external clothes and wearing some saffron. It is the spirit. Spirit of renunciation, detachment from the fruits of work. One could be a sannyasi externally but be very attached to wealth, fame, property. That's not sannyas. That's superficial. But at home, somebody could be living in that spirit of renunciation where he or she thinks or understands that this family, this home is all the Lord's grace and mercy, and I must therefore take nice care of it. So that person is a renounced person, is a renunciant. So a person who lives in such spirit, free from dualities, is not affected by the dualities, profit, loss, honor, dishonor, praise, criticism. This is real sannyas. Real sannyas is that of false ego, renunciation of false ego. And false ego means this is not mine, this is his. False ego means I, me and mine. And real ego or real renunciation means no, it is all his. And I am just a caretaker. And I also have the right to enjoy, but with him as the center, and we all remember where it is coming from. And such a person easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated. O mighty armed Arjuna. If you live in this spirit at home, you do your duties well, but not affected by the good and bad that comes. You are only attached to doing your duty and not to the results. And such a person, free from all dualities. Now that doesn't mean that you don't try for results. When I say do your best, and after doing your best, whatever comes, accept it wholeheartedly, without getting affected. And give it another shot, try again. But not getting affected by success or failure, not becoming proud, not becoming depressed. So only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of material world. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the result of both. So those people who lack knowledge, they cannot understand the ultimately the goal of Karma Yoga and Sankhya Yoga is the same. They think they are different. What is Karma Yoga? Acting for the pleasure of the Lord, satisfaction of the Lord, His pleasure in mind, connecting our activities with Him. And what is Sankhya Yoga? Understanding the difference between what is matter and what is spirit and who is controlling both. And then engaging in this, understanding the difference that I am a spiritual being. Now my next duty is to be connected to my source, that is also spiritual, the Lord. So ultimately, ignorant people think that Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga, they are different. Both have the same goal. And anybody who applies himself fully to either of these achieves the same result. Eventually, everybody will come to the same conclusion. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. And this Sankhya Yoga Krishna has explained in the second chapter. If you remember text number 11 to 30, complete science of body and soul. And then once we understand who we are, then we generally usually do what we are supposed to do. Like if after this class you forget your Arati, you are Pia, and then you've forgotten your identity, then whatever else you will do will completely create chaos. You don't remember who you are, isn't it? Then you will not remember who is the person next to you, people in your house. So similarly, the biggest problem is identity crisis, and Sankhya Yoga reveals that identity, that we are not these material bodies, we are spiritual beings. And then automatically spiritual beings means parts and parcels of God. So let us serve Him. And what is the process of Karma Yoga? You don't just have to work, you also have to serve the Lord with your karma. So ultimately the goal remains the same. Iska bhi goal vahi hai, uska bhi goal vahi hai. Okay, text number 6. Sanyasastu mahabaho.
Sanyasastuha mahabaho.
Dukkham aptum yogataha.
Dukkham aptum ayogataha.
Yoga yukto munir brahma.
Yoga yukto munir brahma.
Nachirena adhigachati. Nachirena Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma.
Yoga Yukto
Vishuddhatma.
Vijitatma Jitendriyaha.
Vijitatma Jitendriyaha.
Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma.
Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma.
Kurvanapina Lipyate. Naiva kinchit karomiti.
Naiva kinchit karomiti.
Yukto manyeta tattvavit.
Yukto manyeta tattvavit.
Pashyan shrinavansh prashran jigran.
Pashyan shrinavansh prashran jigran.
Ashnan gachan swapan swasan.
Ashnan gachan swapan swasan.
Pralapan visrijan grihanan.
Pralapan visrijan grihanan.
Unmishan nimishan api.
Unmishan nimishan api.
Indriyani indriyartheshu.
Indriyani indriyartheshu.
Vartanta iti dharayan.
Vartanta iti dharayan.
Okay. Text 6. Merely renouncing all activities yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. Just a second. Okay, so he's saying simply renouncing activities and not engaging in devotional service, you cannot be in a neutral state at any point in your life, because body needs action. So if you do not engage in devotional service, you will be engaged otherwise. So if you think that acting in this world will give you a reaction, that not acting will also not help you much. You have to act, so why not act in devotional service? Otherwise it will not make you happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. So why should we engage in devotional service? To be happy in life. And that is the ultimate goal. Uske liye puri duniya idhar se udhar bhag rahi hai, itni jaldi idhar jo bhi kar rahi hai. It is only for happiness. So when one engages in his natural life, that is spiritual life, devotional service, then one naturally becomes happy. He just expands on that same point now. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul. So what is a pure soul? One who is free from false ego, free from anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy, and selfishness. So that person is considered a pure soul. Or at least who is fully... There are two types of pure souls. One is one who is totally free. The heart is purified of all kinds of selfishness, anger, greed, pride, illusion and envy. And second types of pure souls are those who are fully surrendered to their Guru. They may not be fully purified, but they are fully surrendered to the Guru. And they are also considered pure souls because eventually, because of their surrender and following the instructions, they are on their way to getting fully purified. There are two types of pure souls. So, आप लोग दोनों में से कौन प्योर सोल है? Tell about each other.
Long way, Guruji, long way.
I know, long way.
One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul. I said, tell about each other, so you all know each other so well. So, Piaji doesn't think that Aarti is a pure soul, and Aarti doesn't think Piaji is a good pure soul.
To recognize our shortcomings, that itself is like a path.
Yes,
first,
that's,
right?
That itself is.
That itself, I think we are so far behind the search.
To realize that we have a long way to go is long a sign way. Of advancement. Like a patient realizing that he's sick is the first step towards cure. If I don't know that I'm sick, how will I ever get cured? Yes. So one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind should not control him, who controls his mind and senses a dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to me, dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled, because ultimately entanglement, disentanglement happens on an internal level, not on an external level. One may be working in this world fully like anybody else, but internally he may be totally detached from the results that he gets in exchange for his actions. Such a person always lives very peacefully, equiposed, and everyone is dear to him. He has an equal vision, and everybody, because he's not bothered about profit and loss, enemy, friend, praise, criticism. So he may be always working, but he's never entangled. Isn't it? For example, the policeman, if we go around slapping somebody whimsically, then the law will catch me. But if a policeman is slapping somebody on the order of the government, will he get implicated? No. He's just doing it as a duty. Duty kar raha hai wo. So jab koi duty karta hai, yes, that's your daughter. What's her name?
That is my daughter, Meher.
Meher, okay. What is she saying?
She was coming to see what was the class. She wasn't sure if it was Gita class.
She wasn't sure. Am I speaking some other stuff today?
No, actually, I have my headphones on.
Okay. She's just checking on you, I think, spying on you. What is my mother doing secretly?
Yes.
Okay. So, kya point kar raha tha main? What was the point I was making? What was the point that was going on? Anybody remembers?
I think it was
Okay, I was not able to unmute Guruji.
Okay,
so you were saying, Guruji, about one who's basically renouncing versus
Yes, so I was saying that a person is not the entanglement, disentanglement, attachment, detachment is not related to external affairs. It's an internal matter. One may be very, very expert. Like, I'll tell you a very beautiful pastime from the scriptures. So when Lord Krishna appeared 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya, so all the devotees from his Krishna Leela, they also appeared with him in different forms. So Sri Radharani, she appeared in a form called, her name was Gadadhar Pandit. In a male form she appeared. So, but very, Gadadhar was very renounced right from the beginning, that devotee. So one day, one of the other devotees, Mukunda, he took him to meet another exalted devotee, very renounced. So Gadadhar had his own way, he was very detached and renounced, and he had his own definition of detachment. When he went with this devotee called Mukunda to see this another very renounced personality, he was shocked. Because he saw this apparently a renounced personality was lying on a couch which was covered with silk, and he was wearing clothes made of silk, pure silk, shiny. He had long hair and fragrant oil smeared on his hair, and he was lying like a nawab. He was chewing pan, and every now and then he would look into the mirror on the wall opposite him, and he would smile looking at himself. And the whole house was filled with opulent things. So Gadadhar Pandit, when he saw, what kind of renounced person is this? He seems to be so attached. And the devotee who had brought him, Mukunda, he understood his mind. So he recited one verse from Bhagavat. That verse basically says that who is that fool who will not worship Krishna? The personality who gave the position of a mother even to a lady who came to kill him. He was talking about Putana. Krishna is so merciful. So as soon as this personality was lying down on a couch, and he had hookah also next to him, सो नहीं हुक्का नहीं पान था एक्चुअली ही वाज च्यूइंग पान एंड इंटॉक्सिकेंट्स ऑफ कोर्स डिवोटीज डोंट टेक सो दैट वाज अनदर स्टोरी फ्रॉम कोलकाता लाला बाबू का स्टोरी था बिफोर ही बिकेम अ डिवोटी देन शिफ्टेड टू वृंदावन सो एज सून एज दिस डिवोटी हिज नेम वाज पुंडरीक विद्यानिधि एंड एज सून एज ही हर्ड दैट वर्स अबाउट कृष्णा ही वेंट मैड because immediately he remembered Krishna and his mercy he just went mad he started throwing things away and he just started tearing the pillows apart and he was jumping crying there were tears running down his eyes like rivers he went into a spiritual frenzy completely and that's when Gadadhar realized that my god this person is a very very elevated soul so I cannot judge anybody externally So one may be living in the midst of opulence, but one may be very, very advanced spiritually. As I always say, spiritual life is a life of connection, not a life of rejection. So, yes.
Does the scripture say anything about if you're not if you're still following the path? Is it okay to live a life of not opulence, but like live a comfortable life, or should
Absolutely. So basically,
what do you have to walk towards renunciation at some point?
See, dekhiye, the whole point is your attachment to the Lord should go on increasing. So if you find your so-called opulence is taking it away from you, then that's a time when we have to step back and contemplate. But if your opulence is helping you connect with Krishna, to serve Krishna more, then we welcome as much opulence as the Lord wants to send into our life. You can use that to serve Him, to glorify Him. See, everything that we have can be used to glorify Krishna, to connect others with Krishna. So, opulence, but if that opulence takes us away, then that's not good. Like most of the devotees of Krishna mentioned in Bhagavatam were great, great kings, living in the midst of greatest opulence. And they would guide their followers also in spiritual life. They will make sure they are advancing materially as well as spiritually. They will handle kingdoms, lakhs of people. They will have their families. And they will also have a temple in the palace where the king would personally serve the set an example for others to follow. And he would use that wealth, a portion of that wealth, to glorify and hold festivals, satsangs, and distribute Krishna Katha. So, using what we have in the Lord's service is a greater form of renunciation than giving up what we have. Giving up is easy, but using what we have is most difficult. Somebody who can do that is considered the most renounced person, a real sannyasi. Okay, I'll stop here. It's 8:40. We can continue tomorrow. Okay? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.